Welcome to the show, Five Sharp Fam. I'm AJ. Before we get into it, become part of the notification squad by hitting the bell next to the subscribe button on YouTube. Welcome to another episode of Five Stripe Weekly, and it is a somber one in this episode. Man, there's a lot of grief in this one where we're starting off with Anton Walkes has tragically passed away. And yeah, rest in power, sweet prince. I mean, you are forever a part of Atlanta United history, and yeah, I mean, it is definitely incredibly sad to hear about his passing. It was apparently on a Wednesday, and the incident was reportedly from the Miami Herald that it was a boating accident, but definitely just incredibly sad. And you know, I mean, a player that, you know, from the 2017 season, I mean, he ingratiated himself with the fans and he played a massive part in our first year and, you know, even came back for seconds. And definitely just a great guy from all accounts. His teammates loved him. You know, the city of Atlanta loved him. And even, you know, a lot of tributes from former teammates and current and former clubs. Of course, you know, we had exposed him to the draft and, you know, to the expansion draft, and Charlotte FC took him. And just a very tragic thing at the tender age of 25. And it really just shows you how tender and, you know, just fragile life is. So yeah, definitely, you know, just, you know, say I love you to your loved ones. Say I love you to your friends. Check in on your friends. You know, whenever you think of them, just message them. I mean, you never know. Like, it really just shows how how life is just this, you know, this passing thing, really. And you know, we all really gotta cherish it a lot more. And you know, I think, yeah, Anton Walkes, it's something that you know, in terms of maybe looking back on his career with LA United, I mean, we saw how he really helped us in that 2017 season at right fullback, overtook Ty Mears, and yeah, I mean, kind of solidified that for us a little bit, and you know, helped us kind of climb the table. And you know, that first goal that he had, that knee slide at Bobby Dodd, you know, scoring against San Jose. I mean, the other notable you know, goal that he had when when he played against Nashville SC in 2021, he had, you know, gotten that captain's armband. And yeah, just the guy that, man, I mean, you know, every teammate that has paid some tributes, I mean, it's just, you know, they speak about just, you know, how good of a guy he was, a bigger brother to them, especially George Campbell and George Bello. I mean, just someone that, you know, by all accounts, I mean, just a class act. And, you know, he will be missed greatly. Yeah, thoughts definitely go out to his family and his loved ones and everyone who's hurting at this time. I mean, it's not even just, you know, the people in Atlanta. I mean, even like a former Atlanta Hawk and Dennis Schroeder, you know, paid a tribute to him on his shoes. And, you know, like, he definitely had far-reaching, you know, kind of impact in people's lives, from Pompeii to Tottenham to, you know, obviously MLS in the States. And so, yeah. And also, I mean, this this tribute from Twitter user Laney Red, this art piece is really, really incredible. And I have it on the screen currently. And if you're on a podcast, just come over and check it out. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's just, it just speaks to kind of how he lit up a room and how he, you know, always held himself accountable to fans as well. If he had a bad game or any of that, like he, you know, he was definitely someone that's, you know, was responsible for his actions and for his play. And that's really all you can ask ever from any player. And so, yes, rest in power, Anton Walkes, forever part of Atlanta United history. And yeah, definitely a very, very sad, sad thing, and definitely the most sad thing, you know, in this episode. But unfortunately, we have more sadness to report. But before that, Garth Lagerwey, he spoke to the media, and yeah, I mean, it was some pieces about you know, what he's expecting to do. And one of the major things is that he is upgrading our analytical departments with some more technology and personnel. Definitely something that is sorely needed. And I think you would see kind of the history with Seattle Sounders, the prolonged success that they've had, you know, they've been able to have because of, you know, his oversight on, you know, analytics departments, you know, at the Sounders. And so it's something that's, yeah, he mentioned to AJC that, you know, something that he wanted to revamp was culture. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, he wanted to, you know, that he wanted to make this kind of like a law firm. And, you know, he realizes that people might roll their eyes. That's really like a Fortune 500 law firm. But, yeah, he mentioned that when he worked there, he was trained and taught to be, like, yeah, you know, responsible for just 1% of that case. But it's yours to own. And if you did well, you get more work to do and, you know, that type of thing. And, yeah, I mean, he basically mentions that, you know, everywhere he's gone, he's come up, he's taken it very seriously. He's, you know, in terms of, you know, those trajectories in his previous jobs at RSL, Real Salt Lake, and at Seattle Sounders. I mean, you know, he's definitely, you know, taking that onus, that responsibility to be a leader. And you know, he's yeah, definitely thinking that, you know, business isn't too different from sports, and that yeah, you get a report card every week and, you know, all that. But yeah, you know, in terms of you know, sports, obviously it's a slightly different, where it you know, you get written about in the paper, and, you know, it's a little bit slightly different. But I mean, it is definitely, you know, for Garth Lagerwey, he's really making sure that you know, there's all the aspects that you know, he sees that can improve. He's going to try to you know, bring his experience, bring his you know, know-how, in order to make this kind of the a first-class organization that we know it can be. And yeah, in terms of, you know, the you know, previous kind of things that he's been able to do, you know, he obviously was a little bit more on the you know, players side of things and salaries and all that. But now he's going to take over a little bit, definitely not just a little bit, but the main responsibilities that, say, a Darren Eales was doing. And while he may not be, like he said, Garth Lagerwey said, he might not be like Darren taking shots in the parking lots, but, you know, he, you know, with fans, he will definitely probably be, you know, just as kind of placing that importance on the supporters and that relationship as he, as his predecessor. And, you know, they've already done some meetings with some supporters groups to kind of do a little introductory, you know, meeting, but also he looks forward to, you know, talking with the supporters on a regular basis and seeing what they, you know, what we're needing, and holding the team accountable for, you know, what, you know, what changes we're making, what progressions we're going to do. So, yeah, you know, the he's saying they had the meeting over at the Blank family office, and, you know, he got to know them a little bit, and he's looking forward to more of that and continuing to make, you know, this unique part of the soccer culture, and certainly the Atlanta United culture, kind of the a robust sports group. So, yeah, you know, he had previously also met with supporters groups in Seattle as well, and yeah, he said his job was voted on every 4 years by supporters, and yeah, there were two votes, 87% in one and then 90% in another. So he's saying, I like to think that I have some background in terms of listening to supporters and having a positive relationship with them. So yeah, no one's ever going to have a 100% approval, but yeah, definitely that is a strong thing to note here. And on the Apple TV thing, I think this is the really interesting bit, is that yeah, Doug Roberson of Agency, he asked which will be more impactful to LA United, the Apple TV deal or getting to host the World Cup games in 2026. And yeah, he mentioned that he hopes both, but you know, we talked about the innovation that is Apple TV, like people can see us all over the world. I think it's an amazing opportunity for the league and to be a trendsetter here. It's one of the first leagues to go this direction. And he said also that you look at the demographics of MLS, it's young, it's hip, it's tech focused, it's diverse, very much Apple's audience. So I think it's a really good fit here. And I think it's going to, I think people are going to watch us play and we're going to get calls. I want to play for LA United. Look at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Look at that crowd. It's the biggest in America. And yeah, I mean, it's like, he also mentioned about the World Cup, and you know, he's saying that's a generational opportunity. And when you look at the league as a whole, the run up in the next 4 years, when you talk about why did I come here, I know you didn't ask that, but I like to make everything about me. He's got a little bit of a, you know, candor as well. But he says, I have three boys and I wanted to go to a place that was going to host, be a host city, because I wanted to have wanted my kids to have that experience. And I think it's such an opportunity in Atlanta, specifically because of the legacy of the Olympics. And so, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, definitely. Atlanta definitely had a come up after the Olympics in 1996. And yeah, yeah, that come up after the World Cup could be something significant as well. So definitely really heartening news to a degree that there is, you know, a purpose while he's here. He's trying to, you know, not only make LA United have a come up, but Atlanta on a whole as well. So really good stuff there. And yeah, also some news over the past week is that Gonzalo Pineda, he seemed confident during his press conference that three new players at different positions are on the way. I think that's yeah, really interesting, but also you know, the preseason is already, you know, kind of going. It's obviously some games are coming up quick, but yeah, we definitely have some holes in our roster, and so these do need to come very, very fast. But yeah, I mean, one of those holes, obviously, you know, we'll talk about in a few. But yeah, Pineda was also asked about his game model, and if you know, that he thinks that he would change a bunch of things in the new season. He said that, yeah, I mean, he's he doesn't really think that you know, he's gonna change a ton, and it's you know, he's just gonna, you know, hope to execute with you know, players that are more of a fit for his system, and players like Etienne and the three new players hopefully will be that. So yeah, we'll see with Pineda. But yeah, he also yeah, I mean, you know, definitely it's just Pineda, you know, he's for me, he's on a short leash for me. I mean, he's had you know, this last season now, and it's, I mean, he has to get this team you know, kind of doing what we want them to do, which is win, and you know, playing with a kind of defined style, because we weren't really seeing a really defined style of play. We made a lot of mistakes, and it seemed like you know, not only rifts in the not only in the locker room, but also you know, players kind of down tooling a little bit. It just, he and of course Pocanegra are both on the thin ice that they should be until they can prove otherwise, because Pocanegra, obviously, you know, we've seen his non-progression, really, with his time at the club. And you know, you have to think as well, the moves that are being made currently, maybe there are some things to it that you know, you have the guy, you know, the new guy that comes in, and then you have the, you know, the previous or, you know, the incumbent you know, manager or technical director kind of make some moves for you before you maybe let them go. So who knows, is that the case? I mean, obviously Pocanegra has not been completely awash through his time here, but I mean, there has just been too many you know, kind of regressions in terms of you know, LA United in this time, that yeah, thin ice is definitely the case. But anyway, so Guzan, he also talked about you know, coming back from his injury, and he talked about learning to enjoy the difficult moments now that he's back from it. He said, quote, "I'm like a kid on the first day, running out there, just messing around and having fun." I'm talking about preseason, of course. "And when it's time to work, it's time to work. But, you know, you do it with a smiling face." And he also said during his recovery, he realized that the quote-unquote rage that gets into him while watching games from afar. And, yeah, I mean, fortunately, his kids were there to step in and, like, keep him distracted when he was at home. But yeah, you know, he said, quote, I wasn't just, oh, poor me. I put my dad hat on and they don't care. I'm recovering from an Achilles. So, yeah, you know, definitely, you know, the veteran presence will be much needed in this squad, and especially kind of the continuity. So, yeah, it is what that is. Of course, Braguzan aging, but still definitely, you know, the starting keeper for LA United. But yeah, in terms of yeah, the biggest news for Atlanta United this past week, of course, is Joseph Martinez being bought out from his contract. And you know, the club used its one offseason buyout, and he, you know, no longer occupied a designated spot. And then yeah, Jose Martinez, because he has a no trade clause, he, you know, has a choice of where he can go, and he chose, of course, to go to Inter Miami. And yeah, they'll retain a portion of his guaranteed contract for their 2023 salary budget. And I mean, that's the interesting bit with MLS, is that MLS owns the contracts for players. And so, you know, that that budget charge just kind of transfers over to any player that moves to a club, to another club in MLS. But yeah, Carlos Bocanegra, he said, yeah, some things. I mean, in the press release, he said Joseph has played a pivotal role in LA United's history, scoring memorable goals and hosting multiple trophies for moments that will forever live with our supporters. He was a foundational piece who was responsible for helping build our brand into what it is today. We cannot thank him enough for his contributions to the club and the community over the last 6 years. He will always be a part of Atlanta United, and we wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors. But yeah, also he calls Boca Negra. Yeah, he also mentioned something that, you know, in his quote that, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is perplexing. But he essentially said that we could have been nasty and prevented him from going to, you know, certain clubs, but we wanted to, you know, give him, you know, give him the choice and, you know, let him go to a place that he wanted. And I mean, I'm just sorry. That's not like he actually said this to the press. And if that doesn't really kind of exemplify what's going on behind the scenes, like so many players that have left Atlanta United, whether it's LGP, whether it's Julian Gressel, whether it's Darlington Nagbe, there have been whispers. There have been whispers, not confirmed, obviously, but whispers of that just lack of finesse from Boca Negra when players are leaving. And yeah, it's there's a lot of kind of resentment towards the technical director, and it is, yeah, just very perplexing. But I mean, to talk more about Jose Martinez, though, and this exit, I mean, well, according to Franco Panizo, he tweeted out that Jose Martinez, he also drew serious interest from Austin FC, Charlotte, and Nashville during this offseason. So, I mean, yeah, definitely very, you know, I probably would have preferred him to go to Austin, if anything, because that's at least on the West Coast. We don't have to see Jose Martinez, but see him we will, that's for sure. But yeah, Jose Martinez, in his history with LA United, 158 games, 111 goals, 4 trophies, and, I mean, you know, just prolific in his time. I mean, from 2017 to 2019, I mean, just an incredible 3-year run. Of course, you know, he came in as a player on loan, and, yeah, shortly after we pretty much made him a permanent transfer. But, yeah, scored 19 goals in 20 matches in his first season. I mean, yeah, you know, that record-breaking campaign in 2018. You know, first MLS player to become an MLS All-Star, regular season, and MLS Cup MVP in the same season. 31 goals that broke the record at that time. And, you know, won the Golden Boot, won us the MLS Cup. And I think broke a duck for Atlanta in terms of championships in this city. I mean, so definitely just an iconic player, and up there in the likes of, you know, just the pantheon of legendary players for not only MLS, but for Atlanta. I mean, you know, I would say up there with Tripper Jones, up there with, you know, you know, possibly like you know, those elites, you know. So I mean, it's just definitely you know, you have Dominique Wilkins, you have Wilkins rather, and you know, you have you know, just the iconic players that you say their first name and you know who you're talking about. And Joseph, like most people, well, at least they've recognized Atlanta United from that. So it is, yeah, you know, we made a superstar here. And Jose Martinez, obviously, he said that, you know, this is his Real Madrid or Barcelona, and that he wouldn't leave unless Atlanta United didn't want him anymore. And unfortunately, yeah, you know, it was kind of, the writing was on the wall. The writing was definitely on the wall, of course, with the report from Felipe Cardenas last season and before that last game. And, you know, it's definitely a shame. It's definitely a shame that, yeah, the emotions were still too raw, that, you know, Jose Martinez, even in kind of the dead rubber that it was in that last game, wasn't started, wasn't given a send-off. And, you know, that that kind of locker room, you know, kind of bust up a little bit. It just became, you know, the sticking point that, you know, it kind of made the straw that broke the camel's back. And, Yeah, I mean, Jose Martinez, he said to the press during his introductory Miami, press conference that's, on Atlanta and the fans, that nothing is over. Atlanta have a special side in my heart. We had great days together. They supported me in the good times and the bad. I'm so grateful to them. I wish you the best. And then he also, a couple days later, after he was announced to enter Miami, he said, quote, on his social media, "You will always be the kings of my heart, forever grateful. Big part of my heart will always be here with you all. I love you forever, at Atlanta United." So, yeah, I mean, it seems like, in terms of Jose Martinez, I mean, he, because of his family, his new child, his baby mama, they're living in Miami. He was reportedly shopping for homes in Miami the previous week. It was the place for him to go, and I think it may also make sense a little bit. He he was frequent on Lake Lanier. I mean, he found solace there. I mean, it seems like Miami, with the proximity to the waters, was definitely first choice for him. And unfortunately, only one season contract, but it'll be interesting to see if he can make that full comeback. But I know we were all massive fans of Jose Martinez at LA United, and yeah, while you have your naysayers and your people that are saying good riddance, or maybe at the least saying he's a toxic personality, I mean, there's no doubt the legendary status of Jose Martinez for Atlanta United. And while, the production or playing time definitely fell off during the latter years here, I mean, yeah, that, the shouts of building the statue, I mean, yeah, is that his legacy? Should he have a statue here? I mean, it definitely is. We wish him the best of luck at Inter Miami, and hopefully he will not kill us too hard when he plays us. But yeah, it is gonna be hard. And Bocanegra, he said, "It's an emotional day. The door is always open for him here." But Bocanegra also said that Lagerwey was briefed during his interviews, and he knew what was going on with Jose Martinez. And, Boca also mentioned that if he feels more pressure having traded away losing the face of the franchise, new president, no playoffs last year, he said there's always pressure. But, also apparently the allocation money that comes from, this, buyout has nothing, to do, or that allocation money has nothing to do with the money used to buy out Jose Martinez. So the all that allocation money is still there. But yeah, it's going to be very weird to see him in Atlanta with an Inter Miami shirt. And yeah, we play Miami on May 6th, but we will play him at the Benz on September 16th. And so no doubt there will be, some Jose Martinez kits at the stadium. I know I've seen a lot of fans already going to buy some Inter Miami kits. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, a lot of people are Jose Martinez fans. I mean, he's just that, just that bravado, that that big of a, a draw around the league. So, yeah, Carlos Bocanegra, he also mentioned on bringing another striker. He said, "Whether we do something now or in the summer, obviously we need to start the season with a center forward, so we want to bring in someone that is impactful, but we're not going to rush into something that we don't feel comfortable with." Boca also said, on the four-year contract that is on the table for Miles Robinson, he says that it's still on the table and it's unsigned. I mean, he said, "We'll have continual conversations, but we're not in a rush or going to take the offer off the table." but that current deal for Miles Robinson expires after the season. So, yeah, I mean, you don't blame Miles Robinson for maybe not taking it because, I mean, you know, he could, after this season, if he plays well and he stays healthy, he could, you know, be on a free to go anywhere, you know, in Europe if he wanted to. And, you know, I think if you're him, like, you know, you're not tied to having to, you know, sign a contract that will tie you here if, you know, that move doesn't materialize. But, and to be fair, I mean, you know, Carlos Bocanegra isn't necessarily inspiring the confidence with the moves that he's been making over the years. And we haven't exactly been, you know, that stalwart in the playoffs or, you know, breeding that that winning that we have really craved. So, yeah, I don't think you can blame Miles Robinson at all. But in terms of that striker being brought in, hopefully it is, you know, someone that's permanent, but, you know, you never know. It could be someone on loan to, you know, see how they trial and see if they are a fit for the club before they sign him permanently. But moving on from that, LA United, they in the 2023 Leagues Cup, they'll face Cruz Azul, the Mexican side, and also, of course, Inter Miami. So, yeah, the group stage of the inaugural edition, and yeah, it's the CONCACAF competition where all 47 clubs, 18 from Liga MX and 29 from MLS, will play in a World Cup style tournament. And they'll qualify three clubs for the 2024 CONCACAF Champions League. And it will take place July 21st to August 19th. So, yeah, we'll see Joseph Martinez three times this year. So we will definitely, yeah, that'll be super great. Cool. So moving on to some transfer rumors. Urawa Red Diamonds, they've... yeah, reached an agreement with Celtic for the transfer of Georgios Giacomakis. Sorry, butchering this name, but yeah, it's a €4 million package. But apparently, Atlanta United were trying to sign this this player, and yeah, I mean, it was definitely someone that maybe we could have gotten. We'll never know in this sense. But, you know, if it finalizes, I will, you know, keep you guys updated on this transfer rumor. But another transfer rumor is the left-sided center back Alexander Callens, formerly of NYCFC, who, of course, is a free agent. But he reportedly is close to signing with Girona FC in La Liga. And yeah, the 30-year-old Peruvian, yeah, he's definitely one of the most sought after ones. And I mean, if he can get to La Liga, it would make sense. So yeah, apparently he will sign a 2.5-year contract. And yeah, it's a big miss because he is a winner. He is very, very talented, and he would bring some some really, really good experience to this side that definitely needs winners and players that, you know, maybe in a win now mode, because, yeah, you know, there are, while we can rebuild, there also are players that can help us in the immediate. But other bits of news is that MLS, they announced that the allocation order is no longer in effect. So, yeah, that was due to St. Louis City, the new franchise in MLS, losing out on the asset that was the top spot in the allocation order, and they will retain first refusal over one player of their choosing who is on the allocation ranking list. So that kind of just does away with all the allocation order in the league, and essentially, yeah, I mean, it's like any player that's, you know, becomes a free agent and that type of thing, then, you know, it there's not that order that it actually has to go through anymore. Yeah, it'll be very interesting. So, or, you know, not just free agents, but, you know, players that are, you know, released and whatnot, they all have that order. But anyway, LANI 2, they announced Friday the return of 8 players from last year's team, an addition of 3 new players to the roster. That would be Sebastian Guerra, he's a goalkeeper, and midfielder Kofi Tuamasi, and forward Kareem Tamimi. And yeah, in terms of the returning players, you know, there's of course Vicente Reyes, defenders Raymar and Nelson Orji, midfielders Nick Firmino, David Mejia, Emenike Nwogu, Tony Tiente, and Jonathan Vilal. And yeah, a bunch of them have also made their youth national teams. And yeah, it's definitely fantastic to see, because yeah, there are some very talented players at LANI 2 right now that of course, you know, will be playing in the new league for you know, all the MLS reserve squads. But yeah, Vicente Reyes, one of them. He started for La Roja in their Sudamericano opener against Ecuador. But yeah, definitely, yeah, just really good to see a lot of our players getting that recognition and those call-ups. And speaking of that, former players, yeah, just really kind of crazy in a sense that, you know, was talked about all the time here during his time with the Five Stripes. But Julian Gressel, he became a U.S. citizen on November. And yeah, he got his first call up to the U.S. men's national team. So congrats to Gressel. He, of course, was born in Germany, but married an American girl. And so now he can play for the U.S. men's national team. 29, but yeah, you know, obviously still very, very useful. Maybe not the part of the setup for the next World Cup, but definitely a player that will get some call-ups to the U.S. men's national team now. So congrats for his first call-up, and as well to another former Five Stripe in Brandon Vasquez. And so, yeah, I mean, he had the choice between Mexico and the United States, of course, because he's pretty much a dual citizen, but he has gotten that call-up, and I think it's overdue. I mean, he probably should have maybe been a part of that World Cup squad, because, my God, we needed some forward attacking options for sure. But last bit of news is that, yeah, former Five Stripe Jake Mulroney, of course, who had moved on to Orlando City in that trade. He has, you know, kind of per his request, apparently, he's moved to Patrick's Athletic FC of the Irish Premier Division. So, yeah, he signs a multi-year deal, and he is no longer in MLS. But yeah, wish him the best. Always a good guy in and around the team. And you know, when he was traded, it was kind of a shock. It was like, yeah, I mean, a player that definitely you know, had his usefulness with us. So yeah, definitely good to see him not in Orlando City Purple. So yeah, that is the news, guys, and pretty much the entire episode, a somber one. And yeah, if you got to the end of this one, yeah, massive appreciation. I mean, this was not easy to, you know, talk myself into here as Anton walks. Definitely, that is, you know, just incredibly, incredibly sad to see him, to see his passing, and Jose Martinez, obviously, as well. Just a massive part of the Atlanta United setup since day one is no longer in Atlanta. And yeah, we have some big moves ahead of us coming up. I'll keep you updated on all the socials and on here, of course, on Five Stripe Weekly. So keep it locked. But in terms of wrapping up this episode, it's we've of course got the question of the day, and the question of the day is, what is Jose Martinez's lasting legacy in Atlanta? Let us know in the comments below. Looking forward to what you have to say. And that's it for us today. Remember to subscribe to us if you haven't already. Share this episode and leave us a review and rating so we can pop up higher in your rankings. I'm AJ. Thanks so much for listening.